Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
On today's episode, I want to talk about one of the Chicago Bulls' underrated strengths last season. One of the things that they need to do this season to make that strength even tougher. We'll talk about that, plus Billy Donovan's Hall of Fame induction, and dive into the mailbag. All that and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host, Sir Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into this content for today, y'all. I want to talk about one of the underrated strengths of the Chicago Bulls and what they have going into next season and how it helps their system thrive, that they're trying to play with that high up-tempo offense that they want to roll with. And, you know, of course, the three-point shooting. And that's the Bulls' playmaking. When you look at it last year, the Chicago Bulls finished 6th in scoring, which is really good, right? Of course, the pace helped with that tremendously. The number of three-point attempts helped with that also. But it wasn't just because of the possessions. It wasn't just because of the three-point shots. It also was the assists. The Chicago Bulls are actually 5th in assists per game last year at 29.1. They're only 2 assists less than the league-leading Denver Nuggets in that category. And, of course, Josh Giddey led the Chicago Bulls in assists last year at a little over 7 assists per game. But then when you look at it, the Bulls also had more players averaging over 3 assists per game as well. 5 more players, as a matter of fact, average over 3 assists per game. You had Trey Jones at 4.9, Adesumu at 4.9 as well, Kobe White at 4.5, Nikola Vucevic at 3.5, Kevin Huerter at 3.2, as well. And actually, if you factor in Zach LaVine and Lonzo Ball there with their time here, the Bulls actually had 7 more players other than Josh Giddey average over 3 assists per game. What does that mean? The way that the Bulls play in possessions, the way that they have passers out there, it helps keep the offense connected. We've talked a lot about Kevin Huerter and how his passing last year was a really good connectivity player for the Chicago Bulls and the way that he helped the team stay connected. And keep in mind, Josh Giddey's assists per game went up tremendously in the second half of the season. If he's able to have a season where he averages closer to 8-9 assists per game for the entirety of the year, that's going to help that a little bit more. The Bulls also have a player in Modest Bouzelis, who we know that he came into the league as a point forward prototype player, and he didn't get to do a lot of that. As a matter of fact, most of his buckets were assisted last year, and if the Bulls are planning on growing Modest Bouzelis' game, as much as a lot of people talk about the scoring aspect, of course, and him growing as a scorer in this league, he has the opportunity as well to grow as a playmaker. That gives you another passer out there that I do think that it's in the realm of possibility that Modest Bouzelis could average, be one of those players next season, being a full-time, you know, starter from day one, that he could be another one of those players to average over 3 assists per game. That keeps your team connected, right? And that means that basically almost anybody in the Bulls' projected starting lineup has the ability to not only start the break, but finish the break with their passing as well, and just make smart decisions. Now, one of the knocks on that, you guys know, I like to present the whole picture here, so we're not going to just talk about the positive. We're going to talk about some of the negative, though. The Chicago Bulls were 10th in turnovers per game, in most turnovers per game, so not the good side of it, where they had the lowest turnovers per game. They were 10th. They had 13.9 turnovers per game, 14 turnovers per game. You guys know, for those that watched the games last year in the post lives, I talked a lot about how many times the Bulls had, you know, 20 turnovers or something like that, and how that really doomed the team, right? But I do think one of the things, and this is a a positive for Montez Buzelis. One of the things that it does benefit is when you do have a playmaking forward on your team, especially with Montez Buzelis and him being over 6'10", is that it allows you to survey the field a little bit more. He uses that height to be able to see the entirety of the basketball court. Now, you do need to have cutters. You do need to have those type of things. And that's where the Bulls often sometimes in the half court, it wasn't what you needed it to be as far as that cutting and creating those lanes and angles. So the Bulls have to lock in with that one. But you look at Modest averaging one assist per game. I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility that he can add a couple of more assists to that per game. It allows Kobe to play a little bit more off ball. When you have a player like Isaac Okoro also, who whatever his role is going to be, if he shares any minutes with Modest Buzelis, you know, with using Modest and his size and how he gets to the cup and passes out to guys like Isaac Okoro who thrive in that corner three, that could be another opportunity in lane for you. So the Bulls playmaking and how they have, you know, decent to above average passers for their position at almost every position is going to be something that could definitely help this team be better next year. Now, of course, we lost Lonzo. Lonzo was one of the better playmakers on the team as well. His plus minus or on off numbers is what I'm looking for. Numbers were tremendous. He had the best on off numbers of any Chicago Bull last year. And you're missing that now, but you're hoping to replace what he brought there with more consistency in other areas. And so the Bulls have that going for themselves. We know that the defense is a problem, right? And of course, you're hoping that Modest takes a step up defensively, that Isaac Okoro will bring something defensively, having Ayo Dosunmu back out there consistently defensively. That these are going to be all things that help the Chicago Bulls step up a little bit defensively. And if Noah Essanay does get into the game early, again, if he does, I'm looking. It's going to be a mix of things for Noah, I feel like, right? Because keep in mind, I want to make the comparison to Ayo. I remember leading into the season, Billy Donovan talked about Ayo Dosunmu spending some time down in the G League. Now, he ended up spending no time. Now, I think Noah's going to spend some time down there regardless, but he ended up spending no time mainly because Billy Donovan needed his defense early in the year. Now, you know, with Noah, we have a very deep forward rotation, so that may not be as simplified for him to get in there. But I do think if Noah Essanay does crack that rotation at any point this season, the defense, the rebounding, the shot blocking, those are things that you're looking for him to really benefit from right as well. Also, and so, you know, you're hoping the team can find some better rhythm defensively than what they did last year. But the Bulls' offense is his bread and butter, and that's with pace, three-point shooting, and passing. And how we do those things, that's really what helps. And, you know, I guess rebounding on the defensive side of the ball too, because the Bulls being such a good rebounding team last year as well also helped the Chicago Bulls get into those areas of the game where they, you know, get out in transition fast and things like that. So that's what the Bulls offense is really built on. And, you know, Billy Donovan, Wes Unseld, you know, Dan Craig, they got their job cut out for them to find a better balance for this team this year. I like to look at it as they implemented a new system last year. And the new system, you know, offensively, it was definitely something different. It definitely was more modern. It's exactly what, you know, the Bulls kind of needed to be as far as to modernize their offense. But, you know, the things that you look at that the Bulls do well, like, I mean, we were the third best rebounding team in the league. We were top 10 in assists per game in the league, right? The three-point attempts were up there in the league as well. The three-point makes were third in the league. So, like, we have something going for ourselves. Now, how consistently you're going to be able to get that done, that's where everybody has the question at. The three-point shooting percentage, for one, is something that while we were high in attempts and high in makes, the three-point percentage was right in the middle of the pack. If you become a more consistent three-point or just a better percentage three-point, higher efficiency team with that, that takes your offense again. The Bulls are on the cusp. And I hesitate to use this word because you got to win to really be viewed that way. I want to be clear that you got to win to be viewed it. But the Bulls are on the cusp of having a potentially elite offense in the league. But the consistency has to be there. They have to do it for the entirety of the year, right? I do think free throw attempts are going to help the Bulls in that. You were second to last in free throw attempts, so you need that and attack the rim a little bit more. I think that's something that we lost last season, is that whereas we were a team with DeMar that did attack the mid-range and attack the rim, last year we traded that in for more three-point shooting and a faster pace. Now we got to find out ways. You're playing a fast pace, you can attack the rim. And I think if you can do those things, get the turnovers down, attack the rim a little bit more, which those two things can go hand in hand, right? By attacking the rim more, you can make your free throw attempts go up And you can have your turnovers go down, right? But you got to attack the actual rim. No, this fancy passing out once you get to the rim. If the Bulls can do those things consistently, you're then looking at a team that could have an elite offense. And we've seen it before. If you can have an elite offense, if you can just get towards the lower middle of the pack, all right? So I'm talking about like 15th middle of the pack. You could be 16th or 17th in defense with having an elite offense. You can be a playoff team. Now, how far you go is, you know, that of course comes down to matchups because defense matters more as you go on and try to get into the postseason. But, you know, again, building blocks. And that's what this is for this season. If the Bulls can get to that place of having a truly elite offense, not just a fast offense, not just a fun offense, that's what the Bulls had last year, but an elite offense and where you do the things as you do at a high enough level, you know, the sky's the limit at that point for the Chicago Bulls. Now, we'll see. We'll see. But playmaking, I think, is going to be a really big part of that. And staying connected as a team. And I've always talked about how sometimes it's the sum of the parts outweighing how you view those individual parts. And can the Bulls be that team next year? We shall see. With that said, Billy Donovan got inducted into the Hall of Fame yesterday. And I just want to spend some time just, you know, talking about his Hall of Fame induction. He gave about a 15-minute long speech there. And, you know, he didn't really, it wasn't one of those things. Like, usually when you see Hall of Fame speeches, it can either go where somebody really talks and gives a lot of stories over the course of their career, the success they had, stuff like that, right? And, you know, he did a little bit on that, but he really did put the spotlight on the people that helped him, right? And that's really is who Billy Donovan is. Say what you will about him as an X's and O's coach in the NBA, but he praised the people that helped him there, the Rick Pitinos, right? The Mo Cheeks, Joakim Noahs, Mike Dangal, Jerry Reinsdorf, right? He named off the people in the relationship that he's built and how those relationships helped him in college and in the NBA, right? And so Billy Donovan didn't give one of those hugely emotional speeches because that's just not who Billy Donovan is, right? But he did give a speech that was perfect to who Billy Donovan is as a person, the way that he talks about the game of basketball, and it is what it is. And so, you know, we'll see. Billy Donovan, you know, not for what he did in the NBA, but for what he did at Florida as the head coach, running that program for as long as he did, he did deserve to go into the Hall of Fame. And so I wanted to spend some time on today's show congratulating Billy Donovan on his Hall of Fame enshrinement. And hopefully next season is a much better season for the Chicago Bulls. And hopefully we can actually look at it and say Billy Donovan coached his ass off. Because like I've been saying for a while now, Billy Donovan is going to have to, with the Bulls, they're not going to be tanking. They're not going to be, you know, more than likely not going to make a big flash move for a superstar type player or anything like that. Billy Donovan is going to have to coach this thing up. And now that you have young players in the wings that we're looking at as being pillars, hopefully, of our future, that job is even more important now. So hopefully Billy Donovan, Dan Craig, Wes Unseld are up to that challenge. But take some time out. Give a shout out to Billy Donovan for making it to the Hall of Fame. But let's go ahead and get into these mailbags for today. This first one, this one's from my brother Korn.
What's the good word, King Drip? It's your brother Korn. Let's get right into this right now. Hey, man, I'm being a little pessimistic this year. I'm not as high on a lot that a lot of Bulls fans is on because, you know, I've been the optimistic type for a while. So this player, everybody is high up on him. I'm not at all. I'm not at all, Drip. And correct me if I'm wrong for doing so. Isaac Okoro, come up here. Let's finally have this conversation. People is really high on you. For some reason, I truly don't know. The reason why you give me pause, number one, you got traded for a man.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
And got dead man knees. You got traded for a guy that's probably not going to play more than 20 games this season. You got traded for a guy who is now looked upon as a guy that we know is, we call, injury prone. You got traded for him. And I hear Bulls content creators, a lot of them, I'm not just saying you, Drip, they're saying Isaac Okoro should probably start for this Bulls team. I'm telling you this right now. If he start for this Bulls team, there is a huge problem in my head. In my head, that's a problem. If it's not Kevin Huerter, if it's not Io, shit, if it's not even P. Will at this point, it's a problem. To me, everybody was giving somebody else's praise that was defensive, semi a vet. It's giving me Jalen Carter likeness. People was doing the same shit with Jalen Carter. Correct me if I'm wrong, Drip. Saying the same shit. He should be starting over Kobe. He's a defender, veteran. Same shit we saying about Isaac Okoro. Like I said, correct me if I'm wrong. I just don't see it. And if he's starting day one, that's an issue. But hey, it is what it is. Appreciate you. You already know. Appreciate you, Bulls Nation. Tell me how you feel. Tell me if y'all feel differently. Let me know. But like I said, this is just how I feel about it. Love you, King Drip. Peace. Blessings, y'all.
All right, so I will say this, is that all pessimism is warranted for this team. And I understand anybody being pessimistic. But I do think you got to look at the context of things, especially if you're going to talk about Isaac Okoro. He was traded for Alonzo Ball because, and I get in and say, oh, he was traded for somebody who's always injured. Yeah, but he was traded for that because the Cavs are good enough to where they can look at what Alonzo Ball does well and say, hey, we have that healthy by the playoffs. We can weather the storm. We're good enough to weather that. If we have an additional playmaker and a defender who can play out there with either two of our guards who are weak defensively, as well as get the ball to Evan Mobley, who's growing as a player, it's worth that. And when you look at the on-off numbers for Lonzo, a championship team like the Cleveland Cavaliers can weather that storm of Lonzo Ball's injuries where the Bulls really just can't. So I'm not knocking him for being traded for Lonzo Ball, right? I think the context of that situation matters. Now, I do think you're bringing up how Javon Carter in that situation. I think it's a little bit different because we were looking at Javon Carter to do something he hadn't done before. And I think people always like to go back to Javon Carter. So the main reason why people thought Javon Carter would start is because they didn't view Kobe as a point guard. And they view Kobe as a scorer and saying that, well, his scoring, he can do more in scoring being off the ball, which, I mean, I guess the Bulls saw it that way too with they spent 1 year of him at point guard before moving him to shooting guard and now allowing him, well, he's still going to have on-ball opportunities, but I've said it before, like Kobe's assist as a point guard aren't anything to really shine. But when you look at how he creates and how that compares to other shooting guards, that's then it puts him actually in a pretty good territory to be towards the upper part of shooting guards and how they create and get assists. So I think that's the thing you have to look at, the totality of it all, bro. And so I think there's a difference between Javon Carter and Isaac Okoro. We were looking for Isaac Okoro to come in and do something he never really did, and that was be a starter, and that was actually run an offense. It's never really been him. He's played off stars. For Isaac Okoro, we're not looking for him to do that. We're looking for him to come in, be the defender that he's been, shoot the ball at a three-point rate that he's done already, and let that be where it's going to be. That's what we're looking for Isaac Okoro to do. So I don't think the situations are one for one, but I do get what you're saying is like, oh, well, if he's starting, something's wrong. No, it's open competition. And if he comes out of that open competition winning it, then let him hold on to that. And like I said, I personally would love to see Io start, but no, we'll see. It's going to be between those two guys, well, a host of guys, and we'll see who comes away with that. We shall see. All right, let's get into the next one, man. This one's from Shay.
What's up, Hayes? It's Shay. Look, I know that you really ain't thinking about this too much, but and I know for sure we sign Josh Giddey, but just think about it. If Josh Giddey moves on to another team next season, or next season especially, just imagine how you would feel if you're not necessarily Kobe White, but Io DeSumo. Think about it. Before we even traded Alex Caruso, if you're Io DeSumo, you will be thinking like, God damn, man, I showed you. I've been showing y'all year after year after year. And besides Kobe, I'm the one also just as well as him had the most inconsistent role my whole tenure here in Chicago, started with my rookie year. And now you had to go back to your original plan of having me and Kobe White in as your starting backcourt. If I'm Io DeSumo and that happens next year with AK bring back Josh Giddey, I'm kind of looking at the Bulls a little bit sideways because you have shown me, yeah, you showed me that I could be a key part of this team, but you have shown me, just like you've shown Kobe, y'all don't really believe in us. And think about it. Io was drafted by this regime. Maybe I'm probably thinking about it a little bit too much, but I mean, damn, if I'm Io, I'm kind of looking at it just a little bit sideways, in my opinion. But that's just me. Anyway, tell me what you think. Peace.
So I got to disagree with you in the sense that Io has been in the rotation every single year. Like, you can say that his role has changed. Yeah, it has. And his role has changed. But this is a guy who's coming off the most minutes average per game in his career so far. The Bulls have always made sure that Io DeSumo was in the rotation. So I don't think Io has any reason to be slighted or anything by what's going on. I think the Bulls have clearly stated and show that Io is part of their plans. And now, is he going to be part of their future plans? That comes down to the contract. But I don't think there's any slight. Just like when people are like, oh, well, coming off the bench is a huge slight. No, it's not. It depends on the minutes. And that's why, like, we've talked about, like, the closing lineup. Who's going to be in that closing lineup? Because if Io's one of the closers, I think things are going to be fine there. I don't think Io's going to look at this Bulls team, and I don't think he, like, even in looking at his vlogs and things, I don't think he feels any way because he's always had a role, and it's always been a role that's been pretty damn well needed and been pretty high up there, even at times where he did have struggles and parts of his game. He's always played a lot of minutes for, and he's trusted by Billy Donovan. So I don't think the role for Io is bad. And I think when you look at Io's strengths, he does have one of those games to where him playing multiple roles for a team actually makes some sense. He can play some point, he can play some shooting guard, he can play some three, he can do a lot of those things. And I think that's a good thing for Io DeSumo to be, that you need a guy who can play multiple roles. Now, I think it's more about the minutes for Io. And I think that's the biggest thing here is the minutes accolation. And he's going to get anywhere between 27 at the lowest and 30 minutes per game. I think that's around the place that Io is going to be on. So I don't really think it's much to worry about when it comes to Io, bro, personally. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, you never know. Some things don't come out until a player's a free agent. And we'll see. That's how it ends up shaking out. All right, let's get into the next one, man. This one's from Reginald.
Hey, this is Reginald calling in about the Trey. Rumor involving Trey, and I don't like it. You know, I get that some people might want a superstar on their team, and if Giddey decides to leave, yes, it does need a replacement, but it's not Trey, you know. The Hawks have been trying to, you know, build around him for years. And outside of that one year where I believe they made it to the Eastern Conference Finals, they haven't really been able to do it with them. If Giddey doesn't sign the contract or that the Bulls are offering now, or if the Bulls try to offer a couple million more per year and he still refuses, I think the Bulls should trade him to the Pelicans for DeJounte Murray. I believe he has a torn MCL or a torn ACL. So this year, 3 months, going to be a rehab year, really. But I think he will fit better in a sense than Giddey, because DeJounte Murray is a two-way player. He can still give you 7-8 assists, still give you 5 rebounds. Go over 20 points a game. And now we know what he can do. But by that time, he comes back fully healthy, he'll be 28, 29. And Trey, I don't think the Pelicans will ask for much, you know, because getting a 23-year-old Josh Giddey is probably better than anything they can get. So maybe the Bulls won't have to give up any draft pick, except maybe one or two second rounders. But, you know, what do you think of instead of Josh Giddey, if he doesn't sign, and DeJounte Murray, possibly Kobe White backcourt? What's your opinion? Thanks.
I think I think we need to learn something about trading for players with major injuries. And don't get me wrong, I like DeJounte Murray. DeJounte's somebody that actually talked about coming to this team a lot, like before he went to Atlanta. And, you know, when we heard that the Spurs could be interested in moving him, when we heard that Atlanta then could be interested in moving him and moving on because him and Trey didn't work out as a backcourt together. I like DeJounte Murray as a player. The problem is that he has 2 years at over $30 million left on his contract, and he's been getting more and more injured as things have gone on. And I don't know if I'd be willing to invest in that because it just never works out for the Chicago Bulls. Now, one could say if they aren't able to retain Josh Giddey or he walks away or something like that, you know, maybe, right? And don't get me wrong. Does he make more sense than Trey? Absolutely, right? Like, and I think that's more so your point is that would be a guy that you would rather the Bulls target than go after Trey Young, is that if they feel like they're going to lose Josh Giddey, is to go after, go after DeJounte Murray. And I get what you're coming at with that. But let's keep in mind this, is that he's going to be 29 by the start of the season. So that means he's going into the age of 30. And while that's not old for life, it is with injuries and the fact that he's becoming more injured as things have gone on. Like, I don't know, man. It's a bit of a concern there. Now, before last year where he only played 31 games, he played 74 and 78 games respectively. So it's not like it's always major injuries. So I can understand where you're coming from with that one too. But it makes me a little iffy, right? But again, if the Bulls do lose Josh Giddey or that he signs the qualifying offer and they know that this next season is probably going to be his last, I wouldn't hate a DeJounte Murray. I wouldn't hate it. It's just, I guess I'd have to wait out and see how this season goes and how he stays healthy. But like, you're right, he's a two-way player. He flirts with, 18 points, almost, it was 17 and a half points per game, almost seven rebounds, over seven rebounds, almost seven assists. So he brings a lot. His shooting efficiency wasn't great last season. But, that was the first year that he's ever shot sub 40%. So hopefully that gets back to the thing. I don't hate DeJounte Murray. I just have concerns. And the Bulls trading for players that already have some major injuries, I don't think ever was really worked out for us. So that's my perspective on it. But you guys can let me know how you feel on that down below. Make sure you guys are following us at Bulls Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, bullscentralpod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything basketball related, for everything Chicago Bulls related. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See red if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.
Your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.